A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Hello there, Dan, Michael and Rob here with The Weekly Show, which is brought to you in association with our favourite legal firm. Can you guess who that is? I bet you can't.
It's going to be Levi Solicitors, I think.
I was going to ask Rob, ultimately. You've spoiled this surprise now.
Spoiler.
Rob, you've got a bad memory. Who do you think it is?
I don't actually know any legal firms. Do you know any?
Levi Solicitors.
Are they the best?
Yep. That's in my opinion anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's not an objective fact, is it? Because we don't know all the legal firms, but we know for sure these are good guys.
Indeed. Yeah.
LeviSolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball for a 10% discount on your legal fees. I mean, that's a hell of a sell, isn't it? We don't know for sure that they're the best, but in our opinion, they are.
But it's like the Carlsberg thing, isn't it? You say probably, except Carlsberg's not good, but Levi Solicitors are good. Yeah. So trust us on this one.
Super. LeviSolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball. 10% discount can be yours on your legal fees there. Right, straight into the weekly news then, shall we? Let's indulge in some winning. All we do is win, 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 as the song goes.
Well, apart from
on the football, right?
Drawing a defeat, wasn't it? Didn't enjoy that, but yeah, it's taking a bit of a shine off the old winning of stuff, hasn't it? And is it the internal player of the year thing tonight? Is that tonight or tomorrow? It's this week anyway, isn't it? I think
it might be tonight. Is it Thursday night?
Record. So that's going to be a sad affair.
Are you going? Get your suit on.
Do you see those prices?
Well, yeah, fair enough.
And also, I've not got that suit anymore. I've returned it after we wore it for our awards ceremony. But we did well at the EFL Awards, didn't we? So that was good. Somerville Player of the Year, Archie Young Player of the Year, Ampadu and Routet and Somerville in the Team of the Year.
Yep.
So we should really go up.
It was nice to see how angry opposition fans were getting about Routet getting... he was striker, wasn't he, in the Team of the Year? Having scored like 5 goals or something. But it was good just to upset some other people and the fact that he wore trainers, which was nice.
And Smodics was in there, wasn't he? So he was playing behind Routes, so they can interchange and Smodics can just run from deep and score the goals in this theoretical team that nobody cares about.
God knows someone's going to need to score the goals in that team.
Yeah.
Because it ain't going to be Routes with his wild shooting. I do love him, but yeah, some of his shots maybe don't quite deserve a striker position.
Speaking of suits, by the way, did you see the picture of Kinnan Dewsbury Hall suit, which we'll put that on the video version about now.
Interesting.
Which essentially it's got the tailor's stitching as a sort of a fashion, as an embellishment,
like,
isn't it?
It's how they sort of mark them up, isn't it, when they're cutting the fabric and stuff. But it's all left on. Or he might have done it himself with Tipex.
Right.
We can't overlook that. He might have got bored on the train and just set about it. But it looks terrible.
Yeah, I once owned a jacket a little bit like this that I, in my one moment of frivolous stupidity, bought it from Harvey Nichols, wore it twice.
Lost it here, isn't he?
No, I was just in my 20s. It was a stupid move.
I think you've covered in the past your financial woes. Yeah. A bit of shopping at Harvey Nichols. Be fine, won't it?
Yeah, it was a nice suit jacket, but just I was completely ill-suited to it.
You had a leather jacket for a time.
Yeah, it was a good leather jacket, actually.
I think I came across a picture of us with Lucas Radaby, and you were wearing that.
Yeah.
The other day. That was that we both look young.
That was during my biker phase.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
The rock and roll years then, weren't they?
Absolutely, mate. Absolutely. And now obviously being middle aged and stuff, I think I can go back into leathers as well now because I need to get a motorbike for the proper if I'm gonna do the old midlife crisis properly. You've got to get a motorbike, haven't you, at that point?
Yeah, I suppose so. Rather than you've got a reckless sports car as it is. Leave it at that.
To be fair to Dewsbury Hall, his suit jacket takes the attention away from his shirt, which doesn't appear to be an actual shirt.
What's he done there? Talk me through it.
It's just like it looks like a bit of folded material.
Like it's sort of wrapped a dressing gown around him or something.
Oh, he's dressed like it's like a Jedi or something, isn't he? Yeah. Wow. I hadn't even spotted that. Good eyes, Rob.
I'd love to be rich and tasteless. It'd be great.
I think you get sold things, don't you? Like, this is more expensive. And you go, oh, I can't afford expensive things, so I suppose I probably better buy it. Okay. Just pop down to Asda. That's what I'd do if I was a footballer for a suit.
It's a bit like...
George Asda.
Yeah, I'll do.
It's a bit like Junior Firpoint. Is it his pink Lamborghini or something? You do think, if you're a footballer and you're rich, you might as well have a pink Lamborghini. You sort of owe it to yourself, don't you?
What ridiculous car would you get if you were a footballer?
I just wouldn't, I don't think.
Would you drive something sensible?
Yeah, just drive something that's fine.
Well, why do you lean into what I'm asking you and just have a bit of fun instead of being a miserable fucker?
Because I don't know any cars.
Would you get a fast one with stripes on it?
A Ferrari.
You're only saying that because the Ferrari garage is opposite the window, isn't it?
Yeah, it's one of them. They do look nice, I have to say. Yeah, I'd probably just buy one of them.
Just get one of them.
When my kids were here once, we went and had a look when it was shut, and you can see some of the prices. One of them was £250,000.
Feels like a lot of money, that.
That feels like a house rather than a car to me. But I suppose if you earn that in a month, whatever.
I don't know what you're looking at me for. I don't really know any cars. Yeah, probably a very shiny one. But go in.
What sort of noise would it make?
Yeah, I've got a lot of money. Sell me the most expensive one.
I'd ask Doof what's a good one to get, because he used to have those.
He had gold. It was wrapped gold and silver ones, didn't he?
Yeah. He was a big 4x4 that was silver. Then he had was it a Merc or something that was gold? I can't remember. Anyway, a man of fine and modest taste.
Past winners of these awards. The EFL ones. What are these then, Michael?
I just put them on the sheet to see if there's any kind of conclusion you can draw from people who've won it, to be like, are you always a success when you win this? Not a bad record, actually.
A couple of years back, Buendia and Elise were player and young player, presumably. You've got Ollie Watkins and Jude Bellingham there the year before.
Yeah, you've got like Gareth Bale's won it, Fab Delph, Wilf Zaha.
Lewis Cook was the young player in 2016.
Dele Alli. There's certainly some good winners. The player of the year is a little bit less consistent, because you sometimes get people like Pat Bamford winning it. he did well in 2015. But sometimes they're people who are just good in that at that point, like Kevin Nolan winning it when he was like right in the middle of his career, feels like a bit of a cheat.
I know we're vindictive, horrible bastards. Mm. So it's nice to see 2013 winner Mata Vidra, can't pronounce his name properly, so apologies if I've mangled that. The year that Tom Ince won the Young Player of the Year, Mata Vidra won the Player of the Year. Mm. And I'm glad he's done nothing since he was pictured outside Leeds train station pretending to be coming to Leeds in a transfer.
Mm. Why did he not sign? Did we just get the impression he wasn't asked?
Probably about 10 million quid, wasn't it?
Apparently, like, Leeds were never actually going to sign him, and he rocked up trying to sort of force a move. Someone told me that he rocked up at Ellen Road and Bielsa to speak to Bielsa, and Bielsa was like, well, no, you don't play for me. Just go home.
Follow Odin Wingied it. Just turned up. Yeah, fair enough. We've had quite a few past winners, though. Beckford's won League One Player of the Year a couple of times. Adam Forshaw won League One Player of the Year. Tom Adeyemi did. Oh, that was League One Apprentice of the Year, actually. But, you know, big names in there. And Billy Sharp won League One Player of the Year a decade apart, 2007 and 2017.
Wow.
Some going, isn't
it? It is. Well done, everybody.
But I think the conclusion is that Archie Gray is the next Jude Bellingham / Gareth Bale.
Right.
Is what I took from it.
Yeah.
So Real Madrid.
So that's good then.
At some point.
Right.
Probably.
What else are we talking about this week then? What's in the news? Is it Leeds United getting promoted or not? Because Southampton won, didn't they? So they're within 3 points of us now, everybody. That final day is looking like fun, isn't it?
I didn't watch it, obviously, because I'm making a point of not watching promotion rivals, but I did just see this. But I'll check in. About half an hour gone. That's one.
It's 3-0.
Are you in the phase of having a day where you sort of talk yourself into it, going, no, we're going to do this, and then the next day, like, oh, we fucked it?
I'm in the current phase of talking myself into we might win the playoffs.
I try not to think,
because we have to win them at some point, don't we?
Well, no.
Yeah, at some point we'll win a playoff, or at least score a goal in a playoff final.
That'd be good.
It would, wouldn't it? Imagine being able to celebrate something.
To Wembley, scoring a goal and winning a game.
Because I'm thinking in I'm justifying this. I was thinking we were going to go up automatically and it was going to be a wonderful day at Elm Road. I'm sensing that's not as likely anymore. But there could still be an even better day and a different day, because we'd get to have a nice time at Wembley, which I've never had done before.
Before the start of the season, I'd convinced myself that was going to happen. And now it's a possibility that we will end up in the playoffs. I have absolutely no confidence. But walking out the Blackburn game, I was convincing myself that it's going to be like the League One promotion. We're going to really fall over the line, bit of madness. And then got to the pub and met a few mates and was trying to convince them of the same. And they just really didn't want to hear it. And I thought, yeah, fair enough. But then Middlesbrough scored against Ipswich and everyone was like, no, we're going to do it, sort of talking themselves around. But yeah, I don't know.
It's mad. I mean, we've seen from the Leicester reaction and propaganda as well, from their defeat to Plymouth when they were basically like, fuck this, absolutely no chance now. We're going to be out of the top two. We're never going to get back into it. To actually finishing the weekend, they're like, oh, okay, we're still in the top two. And with the game in hand, we can very easily go top again and it can all be fine.
I've talked myself into the fact that it's hanging in the balance, but we might just do it. There's no reason why we shouldn't, apart from ourselves. So if we can get our asses in gear, do it.
I'm at the stage now where I kind of think we probably do need to win all three.
Mm.
But, I mean, we won bloody loads in a row, didn't we, this season?
Yeah.
It's more than possible.
I genuinely have talked myself into the idea that we just need a goal to remind ourselves that we can score, which should then breed the confidence to secure a win. When you've won one, you can win another one after that, and then another one.
It is just about possible.
Don't be scared.
I was looking at this morning at the average points usually required to get promoted from the Championship, and when I saw that we already have more, I was like, oh, I don't need to see this now. Actually, it's not helping.
It's not fair.
Yeah.
It's not fair. So, what have we got then ahead of us in terms of the games? We've got Saturday. So in a couple of days, we've got West Brom are going to Leicester while Southampton travel to Cardiff before we play on Monday.
And Ipswich don't play for ages now.
They don't play again until the summer.
That'd be all right, wouldn't it? They've cancelled their games, yeah, because Coventry are in the FA Cup now, aren't they? Who they were meant to be playing them. But thankfully, Coventry are not going to be in the playoffs, because at one point it was looking like that was also going to all need rearranging too, because they were going to be in both the FA Cup final and the playoff final, which would be on consecutive days, which would be a little bit unfair on them. But they're not going to get there now. So by the time we play Borough, it could be Coventry have beaten Scum, which would be nice, and both Southampton and Leicester have lost, and Ipswich haven't got a game, so I can't get any points. So we could be fine again.
Is it right that after we play QPR, Ipswich have still got to play three games?
That is correct, Rob, yes.
I mean, I'm just trying to, again, convince myself. Well, if you've got points on the board, that's the position you want to be.
You do want points on the board at this stage, don't you? If we were to somehow defy expectation and win both games against Middlesbrough and QPR, you give yourself a pretty bloody good chance of going up then.
And into Tuesday, next midweek, is Leicester against Southampton as well. So that's another one where they can't both win.
No.
So...
but they'll find a way.
Do you reckon?
Yeah.
I think Ipswich might win that one, actually.
Yes, with a 97th minute deflected winner. Oh, bloody hellfire. Yeah, it's all pretty tense, isn't it? I went through the... I think I bottomed out at about 2:30 on Saturday when we lost to Blackburn. And I was saying, like on the shows before, like by the time it came to finishing with Phil on Saturday, about 5:30, I was like, do you know what? It's not as bleak as I feared, because Ipswich dropped points. And by Sunday, I was like, do you know what? We could do this.
I mean, it still has the look of a table which gives you a chance, which it didn't a few months ago, did it? You know, coming out of Christmas, you would have, if you could have seen this league table, you would obviously have gone, yeah, we'll definitely take that.
Yeah.
Because we're still in with a real good chance of automatic, which truthfully was well out of our reach, wasn't it? And it looked like Leicester would drop maybe another 10 points or something through the season, but they'd easily win it. And it turns out everyone's completely gone to shit and lost their minds.
And the other side to this is, I think the surprise, the shooting yourself in the foot bit, has now happened, like with the Blackburn game. So if we do balls it up from here, it won't be a surprise, so I can't be as disappointed as I was then.
There could be a few more shots in the chamber. You think? The old shooting of feet.
No, but if we did genuinely sort of collapse and just fall away from here and ended up in the playoffs, you wouldn't be surprised, because you've seen it coming. Whereas before, I think because we haven't had that awful kind of Wiggany moment this season, and it happened against Blackburn, we've all gone, I recognise that now. Maybe we've just got it out of our system.
I've also tried to rationalise this around the last playoff run, because going into that, we were rubbish, weren't we? We finished the season and lost to Ipswich, in fact, didn't we? But we'd been bad for a while, and then we got to the playoffs, and all of a sudden that first game against Derby, we just turned it on again. It was like, oh, actually, we're good. We're good again. And then up until... about the 45th minute at home, we're like, oh, we're good again. So you can turn form around, although ultimately we did then completely fall to pieces in the second half, so I don't know what to make from that. I suppose it's that form can turn quickly and we need it to.
Yeah.
But not so quickly that it can turn back the other way.
I think that'd be a good idea.
I still think if we win all three games, we'd probably go up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's quite an ask.
You just talking about the playoffs then just made me feel sick.
Yeah.
You see, I am genuinely ready to embrace it this year. If it happens, I'm sort of ready to embrace it.
Oh, yeah.
Because I've been trying to reframe my thinking around all this, in that if you ever want to do anything in football, it involves high stakes days, days where jeopardy is all that is present in the stadium.
Mm.
Win or lose, and it all goes to shit. A cup final or a playoff final. That's the name of the game, isn't it? It's you have to embrace the jeopardy to do anything, where it can all fall apart. I think we only feel sort of comfortable if we're running away with something, and we never properly run away with anything, do we? So at some point, it comes down to a day of jeopardy where winning or losing is the difference, and we need to embrace it and embrace the madness.
But damn, we never win.
I know we don't, but sometimes we do.
I suppose on occasions. Yeah, I guess about twice in my life.
Yeah, but so why not though, is what I'm saying, is just embrace the chaos and see where it takes us, and don't be scared of those awful days. I mean, if we get to Wembley and get fully Corberand or something like that, it'll be horrible. I'll hate it.
I'll make my own mind up as to whether or not I'm scared.
But go there, like the chance for having an amazing day out.
It would be lovely.
Which I've been denied so many times in my life with the playoffs.
Yeah, like an actual Wembley win would be amazing.
Yeah.
It's often said, isn't it, if you can do it that way, it's the best way.
Yeah.
You get a cup final out of it, essentially, don't you? Which, I mean, I suppose Southampton may boil down to that. Depending on how results go, it may be that we get a chance to blow the playoffs twice. maybe get a cup final against Southampton that we lose, then a playoff final that we lose.
And the playoff final is 3 days before my birthday. So I'm treating it as a birthday present when we win.
Okay.
Yeah? No?
You might be panic buying for something else in the few days between that and your actual birthday then.
And it's just after your birthday as well. So we could have a joint celebration in London, couldn't we?
I think mine's wedged between the first and second leg.
Oh, super.
Which is nice. At least it won't be on my actual birthday like the Millwall game was.
Right.
When I got to go out a little sad afterwards.
Yeah, happy birthday to me. Speaking of cup finals, the youth have got into the cup final, haven't they? At the Etihad Stadium. Against the Death Star. They went out to the other Death Star last night, didn't they?
Mm.
Spanish Death Star against English Death Star.
I was kind of pleased.
Yeah, I was.
Them and Arsenal, that was like, yeah, good.
The Arsenal one really pleased me because I know their fans won't be taking it very well. In fact, I think I've already seen one of their fans called Saka Victor Moses with some GCSEs. It's like, oh, right, okay. Just slagging off your best player.
You're at that point, are you?
Yeah. Probably just burning it all down.
Although there is something, like, I'm going to go full Richard Keys on this about Arteta. There's something about his manner that just rubs me up a little bit the wrong way. So
yeah.
I'm pleased to see him lose. I think maybe it's because he's so serious all the time. It's an awkward smile.
It's an awkward crossover with Richard Keys, isn't it? When you find yourself agreeing with him on something, you're like, I must be wrong about this.
Yeah.
But no, he's a prick. Yeah. I don't think he was as a player either. I just don't remember him being anything as a player particularly. He was quite nondescript. Like, I don't remember him being someone who was always in the referee's ear or anything in particular, but God, he doesn't have a fucking moan, does he? Just always, as a little power move as well, stands a little bit outside his technical area, which I always just think is...
That's what annoys Richard Keys.
Yeah. It is a bit of a knobhead move, though, it must be said.
Yeah, the rules don't apply to me. And I know, yeah, it's only a foot of grass. But
anyway,
it still matters, doesn't it?
Anyway, be sacked soon. And sent straight to The Hague, I believe.
Right.
If those Arsenal fans have... It was like 2 years ago, when they were saying he was a war criminal.
A war criminal,
yes. And then now they nearly won some stuff. So he was not, but he probably is again now.
Right, okay.
Yeah, but this was initially scheduled for the 4th of May, which would also have been the last day of the season. So right.
Death Star, Star Wars, May the 4th.
Aye.
Be with you. Makes you think, doesn't it?
It's May the 10th now.
That's May the 10th.
It's a Friday night anyway.
May the 10th, be with you.
But it's at the Etihad, and this is also between the two, our two playoff games that we have to come.
Ace.
But no, I think we'll take a decent following to that, I would imagine. Friday night, nothing else to do, is there? Might as well... go and watch another Leeds team lose.
Well, speaking of cup finals and all that, have you seen that they've just released details of a new deal? I mean, literally in the last half an hour, FA Cup, they've done away with all replays.
Is that right?
All the games are moving to the weekends, yeah. But they've done away with replays. So none of that.
Oh, well, doesn't affect us really. we've had two magnificent cup runs the last 2 years, haven't we?
Yeah.
Got past the third round.
Yeah. I mean, there aren't that many rounds after it, really. Not when you top them up.
Who did we lose to this year? Chelsea. Of course it was Chelsea. Yeah.
So we could concentrate on our promotion bid.
Yep.
Which is going super. You've mentioned Chris Kamara on here, Michael.
He's got the freedom of Wakefield, hasn't he?
Chris Kamara, an important cog in the promotion machine in 1990.
Yeah.
And he's better known as a football pundit more recently.
He's been recognised. Over me, I would say I was overlooked for this.
Right. What is the honour?
Freedom of the City of Wakefield.
Well, you live in Pontefract now, so you've essentially deserted them.
Pontefract's part of Wakefield. It's Wakefield and the Five Towns.
Right.
Which I couldn't remember before, even though one of them is my surname.
What are the Five Towns?
Pontefract, Castleford, Normanton, Featherstone, and another one.
The other one?
Yeah, another one.
Dewsbury?
Nah.
No?
That's over towards more Huddersfieldy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the rugby league teams. Batley?
No. No.
Ossett?
Nottingley, maybe? Does Nottingley count?
There'll be people furious at this now.
It might be Nottingley. Anyway, it's good. It's good for Cammy that he's got that.
Which is your favourite of the five towns? Does he get freedom of all five then? Does
I think so, yeah.
Right.
And so he should.
Right.
Does this mean he can like walk sheep through the town centre or something?
Yeah, you get that sort of stuff, don't
like
you?
Pissing a policeman's hat or something like that.
You ever tried that?
Not personally, no.
No.
Right. You're Rothwell, aren't you? We've discussed this before, which is...
Alan Smith country, that, isn't it?
Desperate to be Leeds, but it's kind of wicked.
It's the Leeds postcode, mate. It's all that counts.
It's in the disputed territory, isn't it?
Mind you, I think Ilkley's a Bradford postcode, isn't it? And they're not having a bar of that.
No. You're dragging down the house prices.
So that's good. Are you making, is this your official bid for freedom of Wakefield?
I think it'd be nice.
Right. Do you think you've earned it? What is it that you've done that means you've earned it?
Some podcasts.
Yeah.
It's not much, I admit. Chris Camara's done a lot. He's actually been awarded it for a lot of charity work, hasn't he? And
we've done some charity work.
Say, you've walked a bit, true.
Yeah, actually. Yeah, Wakefield, come on. I think Cammy's done more than me, and also he like
people
played,
like him.
Played football and that, didn't he? Got Leeds promoted. So yeah, fair enough.
And what did you do?
I'm willing to wait.
Tossed it off at ITV for a decade.
Why is that not something to be recognised?
It should be. Christopher John has been charged with being a naughty boy. The guy with two first names.
Must admit, I didn't really know who this was until you sort of fleshed it out. I was like, oh, right, he's on our coaching staff.
Got a red card, Rob.
Yeah, I'm hoping they release like what he actually said to Keith Stroud.
Mm. It normally does come as part of the disciplinary proceedings, doesn't it?
Got any ideas what he might have said, Michael?
Fodder. If he said the same rumours we have.
What about Stroud?
Mm.
Right.
Anyway.
You'd think hopefully he's put it in such expressive language that it's gone straight over Stroud's head. And
wouldn't
so
have to
on.
Be very high,
and so forth. Yes. What's the point? He knows he's done wrong. You give him a red card. More money for the Christmas party pot, isn't it?
I do like that you spread a red card to someone in the coaching staff, though. If Farker's like, call him a pig fucker.
Sorry, say that again.
call him a pig fucker. He hates it. But he's just like, you take the punishment for me. Well, I'll get away with it.
What's livestock in German?
It'll be a really long, aggressive sounding word.
Yeah, Leibensticken or something like that.
What else have we got then to wrap up with, boys and girls?
Yeah, Ethan Ampadu won Player of the Month for March, but that's pointless because April's been a disaster. Well done anyway. The under-21s won, but we're second. We only beat bottom of the league derby.
Hey, we were bottom of the league going into that.
Oh, okay, fair enough. Yeah, so, that's true actually.
So we're off the
Is
bottom
this
of the league.
The rejigged Premier League 2 under-21s league?
Yeah, it's now just one. It used to be two divisions, now it's one big one that you can't get relegated from.
Right, so it's fine.
You only have to finish in the top 16 to get in the playoffs, but we're not going to do that.
Yeah.
But it's fine.
It's gone a bit...
What have you got ambitions of? Top 16 this year, lads?
It's a little bit American sport. Franchise-y. It's like you can finish bottom and everyone goes, ah, well, there's always next year. It's fine. There's absolutely no kind of jeopardy to it whatsoever. But yeah, seeing 26 teams in a league table just upsets me. Feels so horribly wrong, and it makes me worry they'll somehow expand the championship more, and I'll have to watch
100 games a year.
I'll have to just at some point there'll be like 50 teams in the championship. People are like, oh god.
I did write a blog about this, and it was a bit, even though we won 3-0, it was a bit upsetting because our first goal was quite a lot like Blackburn's goal at the weekend, which kind of made me shudder a little bit. And then our third goal was a set piece as well. I thought, oh fuck off.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Time to pick ourselves a hero of the week, a villain of the week. As we assemble the TSB jury, that's us three. Levi Solicitors have offered us no advice on this. I want to make that very clear, but you can get a 10% discount on your legal fees, levisolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball. Right then, I suppose, because it's been a fairly bad week, we need to dig out a bunch of people.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to put forward the dickhead refs between the Sunderland game, because we've not done one of these since then, have we? Have we? No. Either way, he's getting chucked back in, because we should have had... the whole week has been losing, drawing, hasn't it? If we beat Sunderland, which the handball would have allowed, then losing to Blackburn wouldn't have seemed as bad, would it?
No.
So, across the period, I'm seeing it as one piece.
Yeah.
Dickhead refs.
Yeah. Oh, Matt said, actually, Matt's one of our members who sent us this, says, I don't know where they find these bastards.
Yeah, it was Tim Robinson who didn't give the penalty. I can't remember the guy who just was letting Blackburn hold the ball for like 20 minutes at a time, but him too. I just am so bored of watching goalkeepers hold onto balls.
What website are you watching that on?
Yeah, it is. It's very boring, isn't it?
It is. And I don't know, you've shared an article, didn't you, this week about them changing the rules on it. But the thing is, there is
so
a rule.
IFAB are looking at changing it so it's penalised by a corner if they piss about with it for too long.
But just book them. I don't understand why they're making this more complicated than it is. There's a rule there for it already that you can book people for time wasting.
I was saying before, if you book him early when he's doing it, or you give him one warning and you say, right, you've taken too long with that. If you continue to do it, it will be classed as time wasting. You'll go in the book, second offence.
And don't think I'm going to fall for that one where you pretend you can't see where the ball is either. Because that's another classic that people do now.
And if you do it a third time, you're off.
There were two moments at the weekend as well. Before because he did eventually book their keeper, didn't he?
Yeah, in about the 85th minute or something.
There were two moments before then, because one was right in front of me where the left back was waiting forever to take a throw in, and the referee put his whistle to his mouth, and then I think he realised he'd already booked the left back, and he was like, oh shit, I can't send him off. And then he did it again with the keeper. I think he was waiting to take a goal kick, and he put his whistle to his mouth, and then he sort of bottled out of that, and that was what led up to their goal as well. So that was very, very annoying.
Yeah, it's like there's this kind of unwritten rule, I can't send them off.
Referees love to stamp authority on stuff when it's basically meaningless, don't they? It's like the little clash, it was the Sunderland game, wasn't it, where Bamford and their centre-back ended up in a little scuffle. I think he blocked Bamford off and Bamford had a little shove back at him. In other circumstances, they just go yellow card for both of them, because the centre-back had already been booked. He had to bottle it and go, I'm just going to have a word on this occasion, because I can't send him off because I wasn't really looking, but I know something's gone on, and normally I'd be comfortable just giving someone a yellow card for something I've not seen. But on this occasion, I won't send someone off for it. So, VAR next year, maybe.
Well. Is it? Come on then, who else have we got to nominate?
I quite like Neil Masterman's shout for Leeds, Ipswich and Leicester. Every single one of the bottling bastards. For the love of dog, please make this end one way or another. Which I can kind of empathise with that viewpoint.
There was somebody at Wacko actually on the, I can't remember, it must be the promotion thread, suggested they wished that either one of Leicester or Ipswich had just won this week just to put us out of our misery so we could have a couple of weeks get ready for the playoffs, which is the nihilistic view, isn't it? I love it.
It is the fact of just being brought back into it all the time.
Yeah. So tiring, isn't it?
Stop leaving us hanging on.
I was just about to say, I suddenly feel very tired by this season. It's like all of a sudden exhausted, but I don't know. It will be exciting, I'm sure, the way it ends.
The other way to look at this is, if we do it from here, we'll look back on this wobble as being quite fun, or making the outcome more fun.
Yeah.
And we hate it at the time.
And the ones you can talk about at the end of the season, in a decade, in 20 years, go, God, everyone, leaving that Blackburn game, everyone thought we'd completely fucked it, didn't they?
And we had.
Little did they know we'd lose 4-0 to Norwich in the playoff. And it would get loads worse.
Oh. I mean, Dan's had a bad week, not me, the other Dan, suggesting he wants to nominate all of them useless characters.
Yeah, there were a few for that, to be honest. Smodic gets a couple just for being good, scoring. And that Brian in Jacksonville suggesting if Blackburn had any common sense, they'd have sold him. Terrible guests.
Right, what else?
Pears, their goalkeeper.
The fruit.
Their goalkeeper.
Right.
Who was spending his time doing that.
It's not his fault, though, is it? I don't blame him.
No, I don't either, actually. It's just the ref.
If he can get away with it.
Yeah.
I was a bit smug about it, though.
Could you
made
tell?
Made a couple of decent saves as well, didn't he?
Have you got a leading candidate you want to put forward then out of these then, Rob? Anybody in particular?
I quite like everyone.
Yeah.
Leeds, Ipswich, Leicester. I don't really want to nominate Farker, as Billy B has. He says he's been excellent for us this season, but his shortcomings have been on show as clear as day this week. So I do have a bit of sympathy for him, given he kind of did everything that everyone wanted at the weekend and we lost anyway. So I'm not really sure. And again, we have more points than you usually need to get promoted. I feel a bit harsh saying, come on, Fark, sort it out.
He just hasn't factored in that we're Leeds, has he? And there's that Leedsiness about us.
Well, he has, to be fair. He does, unlike Jesse Marsh, who would often say, we need to stop pretending we have to do it the hard way. A man who ended in the job just utterly consumed by stress. Farker has throughout the season gone, yeah, we'll have to do this the hard way because it's Leeds United. So at least he knows. He should be prepared, but it doesn't make it any easier.
A week ago, I don't think he meant that. He'd have been like, I'm going to say that, but we're going to piss this.
It does still feel like a bit of an excuse, though.
What, being Leeds?
Being Leeds, yeah, and just like, this is what we do. And I know this is basically the whole premise of this stupid show, but this is a stupid show and not the actual real football club. Just do it, dickheads. I've had enough.
Yeah, okay.
Said it the other week, get it done. Just stop pissing about and get it done.
What happened since you said that?
They didn't.
2-1 lost one.
We've done a Leeds.
2 really winnable home games.
Totally Leeds did
in a week.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
I think I can't remember if I said it on the show or not, but the moment when Smodic scored, I actually did it. I went, ha! Which reflected that I knew this would happen, I should have known this would happen.
Yeah, that was the feeling I was left with. Like, why have I not seen this coming? Yeah. Obviously, this is going to happen. You idiot for even thinking you could escape this.
Yeah, but we still might. We still might. It's the refs in it anyway.
It's good to externalise the blame, isn't it?
Yeah, completely. Whether it's fair or not.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so it's the dickhead refs from the last week. And Stroud as well, because he wasn't reffing, but he had a little influence.
He did.
So he's in there as well. Scores on the doors. Oh dear, not good for Blackburn. Only Wilfred Nonto came out with much credit there. 6.78. Our man of the match out of 10, as scored by our TSB Plus members, have sent the scores in.
Which is why he was taken off. He was playing too well.
But Nonto, Gruev, Rodon, were your top three scorers with scores over 6. And Gruev got taken off and all, didn't he? Oh, dear.
Yeah, down the bottom in great. Farker, 3.5.
The ref scored a surprisingly high 1.22 out of 10, though.
It was in the, not, I think it was not 0.2 something against Sunderland. So no, that's not bad. Especially about part of the course is that. But
so
yeah,
it feels like there's a bit more internal blame going on there rather than external. Because if we'd taken our chances, then it would have been out of sight, wouldn't it? But
it was basically a bad day for everyone.
All the forwards came out worse, didn't they? They were all the lowest scorers, sort of hovering between 3.5 and 4.5 out of 10. Never mind. Player of the year, Joe Rodon, still on for it then, with Ampadu in second place. Scores haven't moved much, really, have they?
No.
7.28 is the season average for Rodon. Ampadu is 7.20. Right then, so we'll factor all that in as we try and pick a Gaetano Berardi Hero of the Week then now, shall we?
I would have said a good week for Chris Claassen again, as all these low scores are dragging him up the leaderboard, but he's not had a good week, has he?
No. No.
Had a little crash.
If you see a roadblock or a checkpoint, stop.
Driving advice now.
Yeah, well, nobody gets nominated by quite a lot of people. So does anybody want to nominate nobody?
I do like Rory, not Jennings, just saying fuck off. Think, yeah, fair enough.
Angry Paul says, no, I would not fucking well like to nominate a hero. Thin on the ground. I mean, Dallas did win it last week because he just retired. But I mean, his bit round the pitch, was that the nicest bit of the day? It was probably, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, although his pre-match talk to the lads in the players' meeting room didn't work, did it? So is it time to hound him out now?
Just left them all panicking about breaking the femurs.
Yeah, potentially. Potentially.
Could all end any minute, so don't make any tackles. That's what he said.
To paraphrase it.
To paraphrase it, yeah.
Yeah, no, Dallas seems like a fair shout.
I mean, Plymouth and Borough have been nominated as well for actually helping us to keep us in this horrible thing. And Sarah nominates, in particular, Bill Ayling, because he did get his assist.
Yeah.
And we heard from the Ipswich fans saying he was good as well in propaganda.
Nice. I was going to nominate Bill Ayling for his cross. I must admit, I watched the highlights back and there was a bit where he got completely done by the winger. I was like, oh yeah, that's why you're playing for Middlesbrough these days, isn't it? But no, good cross. And he is doing his bit for us.
Yeah, it's contributed to our season. I'm tempted by that. Because if we're externalising the blame, do we externalise the glory?
Yeah. I mean, I think there was one nomination for Archie Gray who someone said he did all right. I think that was about the only actual Leeds player nomination.
And we've had the EFL awards as well, which Archie won a couple, didn't he? So
yeah,
he got the Apprentice of the Year and Young Player of the Year, didn't he? So
we could give it to him, but then the Blackburn game. I think give it to Bill.
Give it to Bill. It'd have been a lot worse if he didn't cross that ball onto whoever that player was.
It was Latte Lath, wasn't it? Was called, I think. Yeah. Fine. Bill.
Yeah.
Well then.
Let's hope there are some Leeds players to give this to next week.
I was just thinking that. I do wonder what next week's going to bring, because we've got the Monday fixture. Bill won't be playing in that.
No.
And then we'll be getting ready to face QPR. It's the week after that that's possibly the most instructive one, isn't it? When you've factored in the Monday and the Friday game, sorry.
We'll be nominating Johnny Howson next week for putting us out of our misery.
I genuinely have Billy. I think he will help us.
Yeah, I think he might. Proper Jermaine Beckford it.
Yeah, just maybe not try all that hard under certain circumstances. Oh no, you've got past me again. Sorry.
We can dream.
I think, well, if the House and family is listening to this, game told.
Let's just hope there aren't too many more of these to do.
Well, it should be finished in theory if we go up, when we go up against Southampton in 2 weeks. That's really close, isn't it? That's really close. Then the last one will be the week after that.
I know for the conditioning of players and stuff, sticking the playoffs into a week would be horrible, but I'd rather they got them out of the way quickly after the season. It's going on till right at the end of May, isn't it? You've got to worry about this for weeks more. Just play them like bang, bang, bang.
Like they used to do in like the 50s and stuff, just put them on consecutive days.
Double header. Yeah. You play like at home, you send me at home on the Monday, away on the Tuesday.
Final on the Wednesday.
Final on the Wednesday. Absolutely fine. Just get it all out of the way. I'd be willing for them to do it as like a round robin tournament all at Wembley or something. Just get everyone down there. They did do a format like that, didn't they, once in the 90s? I feel like you may have been to it. I'm sure there was like Leeds and Palace and some other teams all played at Wembley in a weekend.
Right.
It was like a magic weekend type setup, I think. Okay. Where I'd be up for that for the playoffs as well. Just get it out of the way quickly.
Right.
And if it is us and Southampton in the playoffs, play it straight after the league game. Immediately after. Just go back into the dressing room for 10 minutes, kick off again.
Well, I was going to say, the other option is we could do what they used to do at school. I remember we played a match at school where, because, you know, bad pitches and winter and you only get a certain amount of daylight after school and all that kind of stuff. There's only a select amount of, you know, time window that you can get games played after the school day is finished. And we played, I think it was Buttershaw we played against, and we beat them. So we agreed beforehand, whatever score this is.
It counts twice.
It counts twice for the return fixture. So maybe we could do this. And we beat him 5-0. So that's good. We
should have had a pools panel decide it.
Yeah. So we could do that with Southampton and say, whatever the outcome is here today can just be the playoff final outcome if that happens.
I think get out of the way.
Yeah.
It's after now. You just basically want football to be over as soon as you get near to anything. You're like, I was enjoying the middle bit. Hate this part.
I am starting to come around to the idea, obviously, that we should already be in the playoff final if we finish third. Don't you think? So Norwich, as it stands at the minute, Norwich should go to West Brom for a playoff.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever wins that then travels to Southampton for a playoff. And whoever wins that faces us in the final at Wembley.
It would be fairer in some ways, but then you'd be stressing going, oh, I don't know, we're out of practice. It's not fair. It's actually a disadvantage is what you then talk yourself around to.
Love it.
It's a disadvantage to have been put in the final with loads of rest.
Right, we will wrap it up there then. And let's hope we're in a more positive frame of mind in the next week or two. And
God, it can't be any worse.
And let's see. If we win on Monday, it'll all be different again. Don't you worry yourself. In which case, we will we'll pick up with the weekly show middle of next week, the Daft Silly Week, Monday, Friday. And look out for the show with Phil Hay before we head into the weekend as well, where we will properly preview what's going to go on at Middlesbrough. And boy, what fun it's going to be. We'll see you in a bit.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.